Book of Exodus, chapter 21. We are going to start from verse 1. If you remember, last chapter, God gave these children of Israel rules and regulations, 10 commandments. And now he is telling Moses different kinds of judgment to do it. We are going to look into it. And now God is setting like a court or some court system. So we are going to start from the verse.
Now these are the judgments which thou shalt set before them. If thou buy an Hebrew servant, 6 years he shall serve, and in the seventh he shall go out free for nothing. If he came in by himself, he shall go out by himself. If he were married, then his wife shall go out with him. If his master have given him a wife, and she have borne him sons or daughters, the wife and her children shall be her masters, and he shall go out by himself. And if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free, then his master shall bring him unto the judges. He shall also bring him to the door or unto the doorpost, and his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever.
Okay. Here we see, if the Hebrew man buys the Hebrew servant, that Hebrew servant can serve him for 6 years. And 7th year, that servant should go free. And he said, if he came himself, and then his master provided him a wife, then he should go himself, but his wife and his children belong to masters. Read the verse 4, please.
If his master have given him a wife, and she have borne him sons or daughters, the wife and her children shall be her masters, and he shall go out by himself.
Yeah, if the master gave him the wife to his servant, and she got the sons and daughters, so he says sons and daughters and wife is belong to the master, and the man should go free. Verse 5.
And if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free, then his master shall bring him unto the judges. He shall also bring him to the door or unto the doorpost, and his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever.
The man works 6 years, and he's supposed to go free, but because his master gave him the wife, so the properties belong to the master. His children and his daughters and everything belong to the master. And the master says, if you want to go, now go. You 6 years worked and you go. But if that man says, what am I going to do if I go? My wife is here, my children are here. And so he would say, master, I love you so much that you gave me wife, and I have children, and I love my wife, and I love my children, and I don't want to go anywhere. I want to be with my wife and my children. Then this man, the servant, he was free, but he said, now I want to be bound again, I want to be servant again. And so they said, okay, we don't want fighting again, we don't want you telling again that I set you free and then why I kept you back, so let's go to the court and court will decide. If the court says, okay, he made up his mind, he wants to stay with you, his wife and children, so now he's yours forever. And then the sign was, pierce his ears at the door. That means now you belong to this house and you are not free anymore. You can be my servant forever. And we see some people in America piercing their ears, not knowing the custom. In those days, the ears were pierced of the men if they are servant or they want to be slave forever. And here, they are piercing their ears without knowing what the custom was. Indirectly, they are getting servant. And there are so many good people doing basketball player and football player, and some Christian people are doing. They're thinking this is a fashion. But when they read the Bible, it's like a slavery. When you are slave, that's the time you pierce that servant's ear, and then he will be your servant forever. Verse 7.
And if a man sell his daughter to be a maidservant, she shall not go out as the men servants do.
Now he says, if any man gave his daughter to the master or sold her to the master, after 7 years, she should not be going free. Now somebody will say, why she has to be bound? If the man can go free after 7 years, why cannot this lady can go free after 7 years? I think God was thinking about her safety, where she is going to go. So she should be staying and she should not be going away. Verse 8.
If she please not her master who hath betrothed her to himself, then shall he let her be redeemed. To sell her unto a strange nation, he shall have no power, seeing he hath dealt deceitfully with her.
Now he said, if in case somebody sold his daughter to the man, and now instead of keeping her a servant, he said, okay, I'm going to marry you. And he married to her. And then he found out this lady is not a good lady. She's not behaving good. So I don't need her. Instead of giving her to her own father or wherever she bought, he said, now this is my property. I'm going to do whatever I want to do. And so the Jewish man will not take somebody's wife. So he said, I'm going to sell her to somebody else who is not Jewish. And then he will be selling her to somebody, but that is not a good thing. Somebody will look down on that man that he is not doing good things, selling the wife to somebody else. Verse 9.
And if he have betrothed her unto his son, he shall deal with her after the manner of daughters. If he take him another wife, her food, her raiment, and her duty of marriage shall he not diminish.
Now he said, in case somebody sold their daughter to the man, and he said, okay, this lady is good for my son, so I'm going to give it to my son. And once he give it to the son, then he should be not thinking that she is my servant and I can do anything to her. But once he gives to his son, then he should treat her like his own daughter and don't go after her thinking she is my slave so I can do anything. So keep the purity and holiness in the house. But the son says, hey, don't give me this wife. I didn't ask for it and I don't like her. And so then this man, means his son, can marry somebody else, or his father can provide another wife for him. Then what happens to the lady is already there? He doesn't want her and she has no way to go. So he said, okay, you can keep her as your wife, like a second wife, but if you give her food and clothing and keep her as your wife, even though if you don't like, you don't have to be dealing with her like wife, but still you are married. So you have to have responsibility to give her food, clothes, and shelter. And then if he do not do, then there is another law, verse 11.
And if he do not these three unto her, then shall she go out free without money.
Then he said, okay, you said I have another wife now, and why I'm keeping this lady? I did not marry her. My father gave it to me, and I don't like her. So why should I give her food and clothing and shelter to live? I will tell her to get out of my house and go somewhere. And so she should go free. She doesn't have to pay anything, even though she was bought with a price. Master could not say, hey, give me some money, otherwise I'm going to sell you to somebody and get my money back. Instead of that, he said, okay, my son doesn't like you, and he doesn't want to provide food, shelter, and so you go free. So she can go and marry somebody or live with her own life. Verse 12.
He that smiteth a man so that he dies shall be surely put to death.
Now here he's saying if anybody kills somebody, that person should be killed. That's the death penalty. And today if somebody kills not only one person, he kills 10 people, still people say they should now have a death penalty. But the same people, they are not against abortion, because baby, they don't talk, they don't defend themselves, so they kill the babies. But the person who is already guilty, he killed other people, and they still say we should not have death penalty. And so if you go to the Bible, you kill somebody, that person should be killed. Verse 13.
And if a man lie not in wait, but God deliver him into his hand, then I will appoint thee a place whither he shall flee.
Now here it says the man was not waiting to kill somebody. He did not have pre-planned to kill somebody, no enmity, nothing, but accidentally that person got killed. So the word of God says that person who killed that person, maybe God allowed him to kill, or his time came to die or something. So God says, okay, I will make a place for you, and you run for your life. And there was a city of refuge, so he can go and stay there, and nobody, relatives of this man who got killed, will go and kill him, because he will be safe. Verse 14.
But if a man come presumptuously upon his neighbor to slay him with guile, thou shalt take him from mine altar that he may die.
Now here is say, if a person intentionally or grudgingly or willingly plan to kill this person, and he killed that person, and if he killed that person, and then he think, oh, I'm going to go to refuge place, and I'll be safe there. God says, no, you don't have to let him go free. That person should be put to death. Because in the olden days, if somebody is going after the person to kill, and they go after the altar, and see, so God's altar, God's place, so the people will not go and kill. You should kill that person if he kills somebody else willingly. Okay, verse 15.
And he that smiteth his father or his mother shall be surely put to death. And he that stealeth a man and selleth him, or if he be found in his hand, he shall surely be put to death.
He says, he that smiteth his father or his mother shall surely put to death. Means you cannot kill your father or kill your mother. And somebody says, okay, if I don't kill, I just curse. So what would happen? Read the verse 17.
And he that curseth his father or his mother shall surely be put to death.
See, somebody says, I didn't kill my mother, or I didn't kill my father, but I can curse them. Say foul language or fight with them, nothing will happen. So in the olden days, you cannot even say bad about your mother or father. And if somebody prove it to that, that person should be killed. And verse 16, it says, if somebody kidnapped somebody and sold that person to somebody, and somebody found out that he did that, that person also should be put to death. If those kind of rules were in the Old Testament, if those rules will be today, there won't be any kidnapping. There won't be any people cursing mother and father and killing mother and father. Death penalty, if you take it away from your state or your country, more people will do crime and kill people. People are thinking the guns are bad. The guns are not bad, the people are bad. Gun doesn't jump from pocket and kill somebody. Just like a money is good and money is bad, how you use it. Just think, every gun is taken away from every house in American houses. Then what? Then the thief and robbers will be free to kill anybody, go to anybody's house. But if somebody has a gun and say, I have a gun, watch out, before you enter this house, think twice, we have gun. People will not get into that house. But we should not be taking the guns away from the citizens, because the guns are for their protection, self-protection. Okay, let's go back to the Exodus chapter 21 and verse 18.
And if men strive together, and one smite another with a stone or with his fist, and he die not, but keepeth his bed, if he rise again and walk abroad upon his staff, then shall he that smote him be quit, only he shall pay for the loss of his time and shall cause him to be thoroughly healed.
Now, this law sounds to be good, but I don't know. This law is kept today. He said if somebody was fighting with somebody and with a stone or fist, and that man, got hurt, maybe went to hospital and stayed there in the bed for several days and didn't die. If he would have died, they will give him death penalty, but he didn't die, he survived. So he said if he survived, then the person who hit him and tried to kill him should pay his medical bills. That's a good idea. Here somebody goes and hits somebody, hit and run, and they have no responsibility. And so if this law is put in action, people will not hitting somebody, they will not damage somebody, because if they hurt somebody, they have to pay the penalty, the medical bill. And today's medical bills are very high. So nobody will somebody push around. Okay, verse 20.
And if a man smite his servant or his maid with a rod, and he die under his hand, he shall be surely punished. Notwithstanding, if he continue a day or two, he shall not be punished, for he is his money.
If you have a servant, and you try to hit him with a rod or something, and he died, then the boss should be punished. But here it doesn't say death penalty. He might be giving some money if that servant has a family or something, so he should pay some money to that person or whatever the punishment is. But the man didn't die, and he survived, then he says this man should not be punished, means the boss should not be punished, because that servant is his money, because his servant didn't work, so the boss lost the money, and so he punished him because he didn't do good job or whatever, so he should not be punished anymore because he survived, he just got some beating. So that is his property, and so he should not be punished. He should not be finding any fault in this man because he's a servant. Can you imagine in the olden days, servants call their property. They can do anything to their servant, and if something wrong happens, if that person dies, then pay penalty to some his relatives, a wife, or children might be. But if he doesn't die, then there is no penalty because he's his servant. And he said, well, because he was sick for 6 months, so I lost 6 months' work, so why should you charging me penalty? And that's the way the law was in those days. Verse 22.
If men strive and hurt a woman with child so that her fruit depart from her, and yet no mischief follow, he shall be surely punished according as the woman's husband will lay upon him, and he shall pay as the judges determine. And if any mischief follow, then thou shalt give life for life.
He says two people were fighting, and maybe wife came to rescue or something, and she was pregnant, and she got pushed. So maybe she got hurt. Maybe she went to doctor, medical doctor or something. And if she didn't have the damage to her baby, then whatever the medical bill or whatever the husband says, this is what you have to give, then you have to give. But if that lady dies, then whoever did that, that person should be killed. It's a good law that if you start doing like that today, many people will not be doing wrong things. Okay, verse 24.
Eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burning for burning, wound for wound, stripe for stripe. And if a man smite the eye of his servant or the eye of his maid, that it perish, he shall let him go free for his eye's sake. And if he smite out his manservant's tooth or his maidservant's tooth, he shall let him go free for his tooth's sake.
Now here he's saying, if the fighting they were doing and somebody hurt somebody's eye, says eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burning for burning, wound for wound, stripe for stripe, this is the way the punishment was. Now, today, if somebody does something wrong to them, they might have some kind of penalty, go to court, putting a jail for a day or two and gone. But the person who lost his eyes or lost his tooth or lost his hand or lost his foot, that person suffers. So here he's saying, if anybody does damage to any person, eye or tooth or hand or anything, you give the same punishment to that person. And so people will be a little bit afraid. If I poke somebody's eye, then the judge say, okay, you poke his eye, make him blind. If he damage your hand, let damage his hand. So whatever they did to you, that's the way the punishment should be given to that person. So other person will not feel that bad. He did something to me, so I'm going to do to him. But in a grace period, we don't do that. Jesus Christ says if somebody slaps on your right side, you show him a left also. And so he says, revenge is mine. Today we are living in a grace period, but this is the Old Testament. In the Old Testament time, whatever they did to you, you're supposed to do to them. Verse 27, it says, if the man hit somebody, means his servant, broke his tooth, then let him go free. Because today also, if you have a life insurance policy, and if you lose an eye or tooth, they give a certain amount of money. I think they're finding from this Old Testament law. Okay, verse 28.
If an ox gore a man or a woman that they die, then the ox shall be surely stoned, and his flesh shall not be eaten, but the owner of the ox shall be quit. But if the ox were wont to push with his horn in time past, and it hath been testified to his owner, and he hath not kept him in, but that he hath killed a man or a woman, the ox shall be stoned, and his owner also shall be put to death.
Now see, here is this saying, ox. The ox has some kind of habit injuring people. If it was first time, then whatever the damage is done, you should be giving the money. But if that person who had the ox, and this ox is doing all these mischiefs all the time, and the man is not taking care of it, and if somebody dies, then the ox and the owner should be put to death. And the other one, he says, if there's the ox did something wrong, you stone him, and nobody should eat his flesh, because that animal is a bad animal, bad blood, bad behavior, don't even eat his flesh. And so this was a law, so the people will keep their animal tied. He says that person should be tying his ox, not allowing to go around free. Today there are so many people that have dogs, and some dogs they keep, and they don't register their dogs. And if that dog bites somebody, that dog will they put to death. If the man keeping that animals to hurting other people, they said, kill that man also and his animal. Today also, sometimes they do that. If you keep the vicious dog and dog is biting somebody and one or two cases came, then the dog will put to death and the man will be have punishment. So these all the laws we learning in the Old Testament, most of the laws are written in British and American courts, but now we are doing a little bit easier laws. Okay, verse 30.
If there be laid on him a sum of money, then he shall give for the ransom of his life whatsoever is laid upon him. Whether he have gored a son or gored a daughter, according to this judgment shall it be done unto him.
If this man who had the bad animal didn't take care of him, and so if that man's ox kills somebody, and that the man should be put to death, but not only that, if that other guy has some kind of loan or something, that person also help him to pay his loan. Verse 31.
Whether he have gored a son or have gored a daughter, according to this judgment shall it be done unto him.
Okay, then if he kills somebody's son or daughter, then whatever the judges give the punishment, that punishment should be there. Verse 32.
If the ox shall push a manservant or a maidservant, he shall give unto their master 30 shekels of silver, and the ox shall be stoned.
Now, this is, he's saying, this is the boss. Boss has the manservant or the female servant, and his own ox tried to push his master's servant's lady or man. Then he said that man should give him 30 pieces of silver. Because I think in those days, the man's value was, they thinking, 30 silver. And so, and then the ox should be killed. Okay, verse 33.
And if a man shall open a pit, or if a man shall dig a pit and not cover it, and an ox or an ass fall therein, the owner of the pit shall make it good and give money unto the owner of them, and the dead beast shall be his.
See, that law is today too. In your property, somebody falls or somebody get injured, you have to pay the penalty. You didn't take care of your lawn, or you didn't take care of your cement, concrete, or there was a ditch or something, or there was some kind of hole and somebody falls in it. And so those days they had a law. If you made the ditch for some reason, and evening time or daytime you put the cover it, and today they put a yellow ribbon all around to show that the place is wet or newly cement or something like that. But if you do not do precautions and somebody get injured in your property, you will be paying the penalty. So this law was there, I think thousands of years ago, at least 4,000-6,000 years ago, but today same law is applied. So that's why we have to keep our property safe, backyard or front yard or wherever it is, and if it is problem, it should be taken care. That's why snow time, we come and put the salt everywhere, and still somebody falls, then it is not your fault because you try to help somebody not to be falling. And so some of the laws are good, so these people will not purposely trying to trap somebody in this kind of situation. Verse 35.
And if one man's ox hurt another's that he die, then they shall sell the live ox and divide the money of it, and the dead ox also they shall divide. Or if it be known that the ox hath used to push in time past, and his owner hath not kept him in, he shall surely pay ox for ox, and the dead shall be his own.
Now, if somebody's ox or a bull hurts, then he says that ox should be sold because it's a bad ox. So what happens? And after selling, take the 50-50 money. But if that ox used to do this kind of thing, his owner should be having penalty, and that the ox or the animal should be put to death. These laws were given for the protection of people, and so nobody will do mischiefs or something wrong and get away with it. Today, many people purposely doing something, but in olden days, if somebody does something, they will be witness, eyewitness. Somebody will say, this was happened, and there will be punishment right away. And so, man, animal, or anybody does anything, they will be punished right away, or they're taken money from that person and given to the person who got hurt. Today, many people doing many wrong things, and they are not feeling guilty. Why? Because they don't have God. If the people reading the Bible and studying the Word of God, then people will have fear of God. God is watching. If you read the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, verse 13, it says, there is nothing hidden in the eyes of God, everything open and naked to his eyes. What does it mean? If you hit somebody and you do not have eyewitness, and the man got killed and you run away, do you know there are so many people hit and run? They kill somebody driving and they run away. Why people running? There are two reasons. Sometimes somebody just want to help somebody, but the relatives or friends will come and kill him before he could even help that other person. That's why the person doesn't stand, he just runs. But if that person is godly, he could call the police and say, I'm sorry, accidentally I hit somebody, but I didn't stop there because somebody might kill me or somebody might do damage, but I'm here, waiting here, please come and help me. I want to tell that I made a mistake. Then there'll be less crime. But people, they say, if nobody saw me, Why should I go and, get into trouble? Read that verse, please. Book of Hebrews, chapter 4, verse 13.
Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do.
See, he says you have to deal with God. God is watching over you. If you do some crime secretly, that doesn't mean God doesn't know it. God has a record. He keeps a record of everything what you do. And there are people walking on the street. They are criminal. Everybody's doing something wrong. Why? Because all have sinned. There is Adamic sin in us. Romans chapter 3, verse 23, please read. It says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Please read.
For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God.
All have sinned. There is not a single man in the world can say, I am not a sinner. The word of God says, if somebody says, I didn't commit sin, I didn't do anything wrong, he's a liar. Read that in 1 John chapter 1, verse 8.
If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us.
Yes, that means if you say, I didn't do anything, that means say you're deceiving yourself and you are a sinner, you are a liar. So, God sees everything. God knows everything. So, what the person should do, if the person is reading the Bible and studying the Word, and even though you are Christian, sometimes people say, I was born again, I gave my life to God, and now I'm backslidden, and my heart is bothering me, I don't go to church anymore, and I don't know what to do. Read the verse 9. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9.
If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
See, God is just. He is loving and caring. He knows that mankind will make a mistake. So he said, if you make a mistake, don't run from me. Run to me. We have to go towards God and say, Lord, my heart is condemning me. So he says, God is greater than your heart. He will give you grace to repent. He will give you a new heart. But if you're running away from God, and then you're going away and doing more crimes, so that the word of God says, repent. Repent means turn around, come to me. Don't run away from me, because there is no answer. If you go away, you will be doing more crime. You will be getting hurt. So you come back. When you come to God and say, Lord, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. Please forgive me, wash me, cleanse me, and forgive me. As soon as you do that, your sins are forgiven, forgotten, and there is no record of our sins. So once your sins are forgiven and forgotten, then you have a clear conscience. You stand before God and you can pray, you can worship, and we can thank God. But if your heart is condemning you, then you don't like to go to church, you don't like to meet people, people isolate themselves and they get into trouble, and then they start taking some kind of drugs to make them feel good. Instead of they feeling good, they feel guilty and they feel some kind of loneliness, and they want to kill themselves. They don't want to tell anybody what's bothering them, and they become suicidal and they kill themselves, and people would say, oh, this person was a good person. And so the sin and guilt make you to isolate from other people. There was one lady came to our church, but she was afraid to tell me about her grandson. And one day she said, Pastor Peter, I'm ashamed to tell you, but I have to tell you. My grandson lives in the basement. He has a girlfriend, not married. She works in the Sears, and he smokes, and he does drugs, and he doesn't want to get out of the house, but the lady comes and gives him money and everything, and she's happy with him, but I am not. So I said, okay, we are going to pray for him. She said, could you please call him and talk to him? I said, ma'am, if I call him, he will say wrong number, and he may not want to talk to me. You give him my number and tell him, call this pastor, and he will pray with you. He called me middle of the night, 2 a.m. And he calls and he says, Pastor Peter, my grandma gave me this number. And she said, call Pastor Peter before you do anything. So I said, how can I help you? He said, tonight, I'm going to kill myself. I don't want to live in this world. What do you have to say? Now just think, if somebody made up their mind, they want to kill themselves, and I'm not there. I don't know how long, how many hundreds of miles he is. I said, sir, let me tell you one thing. Dying is easy. Any fool can die. Dying is easy, but living is hard. And you have problem living because you are not living for God. You are living for sin. And Bible says, John chapter 10, verse 10, enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. The devil wants to destroy you. But the Jesus says, I have come to give you life and more abundant life. Do you want abundant life, or you want to kill yourself and go to hell? And the man came to his senses. He said, pray for me. I said, do you have will to live? He said, pray for me and ask God to give me supernatural power to live for him. And I led him to Christ, and I prayed for him. And I said, don't call me again for the same reason. Means, don't call me again, Pastor Peter. The other day I didn't get killed, but now I made up my mind again. I don't want to hear that. I'm praying for this once and for all. You are not going to call me for the same reason. You're going to change. And he gave his life to God. And I didn't hear anything from him or anybody. A couple of months later, I got a phone call from the grandmother. He said, Pastor Peter, what did you do to my grandson? I thought maybe I hurt his feeling and he killed himself or something. I said, what did I do? I just prayed. She said, he's standing at the door, having a three-piece suit and Bible in his hand and knocking at my door. And he says, Grandma, you must be born again. She said, I'm Methodist. I never got saved and born again and baptized. But now he's coming and telling me, Grandma, you should be born again. You should give your life to God. And I was thanking God. I said, is that a good thing or a bad thing? She said, you did a good thing. I said, praise the Lord. So point I'm making, God is watching over us. Even the government is not everywhere, but now they are saying, they are thinking, keep the camera in every street. In Europe, they have cameras in every street. In New York, they have cameras in every street. But now they are thinking to keep the camera in your cars. So wherever you're going or whatever you're doing, they can watch you. But the God has given us the conscience, good and bad. We know what good and what evil is. I was just thinking, if the people start reading the Bible, start going to church, the right church, not the wrong church, because now there are wrong churches too. There are churches teaching you wrong thing. So we should be standing tall and saying, this Bible is the roadmap to heaven. If you deny Christ, you deny God. If you read in the St. John's Gospel, if you read, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And then he says, God did not send his Son to condemn the world, but through him they should be saved. But if he said, if somebody denies the Son, they are already condemned. Condemned means they will be destroyed in hell. Please read these three verses. John 3:16, 17, 18.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God.
See, God already sent his Son to sacrifice for you, and you deny him, then don't think that God is love and God is going to save me automatically. He said, I sent my Son not to condemn you, to say, oh, heavy laden, come unto me, and I will give you rest. You want to go to heaven? Come through me. I am the door. I am the way. Ye shall know the truth, and truth shall set you free. I came here to set you free. But if you want to be in bondage, and if you don't want to listen to me, then you are already condemned. You're going to go to hell. And so we cannot change our Bible according to the new age or according to please the world. Go to the Galatians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. It says you cannot please people.
As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed.
See, any other gospel. Whoever changes the Bible now to please Muslim or please Hindus or please somebody else, those people will be cursed. Not only people, even the angels can be cursed. Nobody has power to change the good news of God. What is the good news? Jesus Christ came, he died on the cross, he rose again, and he's a living God, he can save you. That's the good news. That's the gospel. If somebody denies that gospel, that person should be killed. That person should be cursed. Verse 10.
For do I not persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ.
See, here the St. Paul is saying, am I here to please people? Servant of God is not going to please people. He has to please God first. We want to please God, and that was our work is. So I'm just telling each and every person, they have to know the Bible. They have to know the truth. People are changing the truth. And so we cannot give up our original God and worship somebody's God who is man-made God because of fear, because of if we worship their God, they will not kill us. We are worshiping people then. We are pleasing people. If you start pleasing people, we cannot be called the servant of God. So we have to tell the truth, preach the truth, and Jesus Christ says, you will have tribulations. St. John chapter 16, verse 33, please read. He says, you shall have tribulation, but he says, don't worry, I have overcome the world. We are in the side of the winner. Okay, go ahead.
These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world.
What he's saying? In me, in Christ, you have peace. You don't have to worry about other people, how they treat you. He said, you will have tribulation, but I have overcome the world. So we are in winning party. We are following Christ. Word of God says we are more than a conqueror. So we don't have to worry about other people. We have to worry about God. Matthew chapter 10, verse 28, please read. He says, the enemy will try to hurt your body, but they have no power to kill your soul. Only God has.
And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell.
See, it's very simple. He says, man can try to hurt you and kill you, but he has no power to kill your soul or spirit. But God has power to put somebody to hell. So we should be worshiping God and following God and not following man. So we are learning the rules and regulation in Old Testament, but Jesus Christ gave us good rules. He said, revenge is mine. You don't take revenge. Your enemy is hungry, feed him. Enemy is thirsty, give him something to drink. So we are not here to destroy other religions, but we will not allow others to destroy Christian religion. Shall we rise? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. You are a great God. You have called us with a definite high calling and no turning back. When we commit sin, we make a mistake. Instead of running from God, we run to God. And your word says that you are loving, you are kind, you are just, you are forgiving. And so you will renew us, you will forgive us, you will wash us and cleanse us. We plead the blood of Jesus Christ on every man, every woman, every child. Let those people come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. We commit ourselves into our loving hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Please be seated.